You know, earlier this month I was at home straining my eyes to read this fascinating Forbes article on my phone. The title was How to Blow $9 Billion, The Fallen Stroh Family. It told the story of this rise and fall of a Michigan brewing family and was written by Carrie A. Dolan, and she joins us now. First, what got you interested in writing about the Strohs?
You know, I was lucky enough to actually be pitched this story. The public relations person for Frances Stroh, who's a fifth-generation member of the family, lives here in San Francisco where I am. She's writing a memoir, and I guess she was looking for a little, I don't know, publicity ahead of the memoir. So I talked to her, and it just so happened that I was very interested because Forbes was in the process of putting together a list of the richest families in America, large family fortunes. And the Stroh family had been on a sort of a smaller list that we'd done back in the 80s of great family fortunes when their brewery was at its peak. And, of course, they fell off as, you know, situation declined at the brewery.
Let's do just a sketch of what happened to the family. You know, it starts in the mid-19th century, an immigrant and a beer recipe, and then it grew from there. How did they get big first?
They grew pretty slowly and steadily from, you know, the late 1800s on. Bernard Stroh came from Germany, as you said, with the recipe and started out delivering, you know, the beer with the wheelbarrow. But delivering beer, you know, had eventually the automobile, and they were able to expand their distribution in the Midwest. And then the growth really happened in the 80s. By then, fourth generation family member Peter Stroh was the CEO. Someone had told me, I was never able to verify this, that they paid a lot of money to McKinsey for a study that said, you know, you either have to get big or get out of the business.
And so then they did get big, too. Number three to only Anheuser-Busch and Miller.
Exactly. And this was after in the early 80s, they bought first Schaefer Brewery, and then the big one in 1982 was Joseph Schlitz Brewery, which was, as a couple other family members told me, it was like a minnow swallowing a whale. I mean, Stroh had one brewery in Detroit, and Schlitz had six around the country. They became a national brand, I mean, a national company with lots of brands, Old Milwaukee, Schlitz Malt Liquor, you know, the Stroh's brand. But they didn't have the marketing budget to compete with the two bigger guys, Anheuser-Busch and Miller. And then also, at the same time, Coors was slowly moving eastward from Colorado, expanding its distribution, and they had, you know, fewer brands, and they could focus, and they had more money. A lot about beer is marketing, as I learned in reporting the story.
So we had a lot of debt from buying out other companies. We had some not great marketing, especially when they missed on light beer, which I understand, according to your article, that happened. And they got this new competition from Coors. That kind of is where the whole Stroh's family story starts to unravel, right?
Yeah, I mean, as one of the former employees I talked to told me, he said there were four big breweries in a three-brewery industry because there really was only room in the market for three breweries. And what happened was, you know, there were price wars. Stroh started introducing 30 beers for the price of 24, 30 packs and 15 packs, 15 beers for the price of 12, and that kind of stuff. So,
sure,
you know,
cheapening the brand, yeah.
Exactly. And then, in a kind of an about face, Peter Stroh brought in this ad guy, Hal Reiney, who decided, no, the brand needed a makeover. We're going to make Stroh's into a premium beer. It never was a premium beer. But they got new label, same recipe, raised the price, and the sales of the beer tanked because it was the same beer, but it cost more. They got rid of the 30 packs and everything. So some mistakes that were done. And then I think what happened that was the real problem was in the mid-90s, in 96, they took on more debt to buy yet another company, G. Heilemann. And that had a whole bunch of kind of second-tier brands. And by the time, and meanwhile, they weren't using full capacity at their plant. They were contract brewing for lots of other folks, including Pabst. And then Pabst decided not to renew the contract for having Stroh brew their beer. And that was, as I was told by some people, that might have been the final blow that kind of forced the company into selling. So they sold Stroh's. I mean, you may still be able to get Stroh's somewhere. You certainly can't get it here in California. But Pabst bought a bunch of the brands, and Miller bought some of the brands, and most money went to pay down the debt that they took on.
Your title suggests blowing $9 billion,
yes.
But that's not what the Stroh family got. Yeah,
it's a hyperbolic thing. So we say in the first paragraph of the story that in 1988, Forbes calculated that the family fortune shared by about 30 members was worth at least $700 million. And so if they had matched the S&P 500, you know, since then, that they'd be worth about $9 billion. So, you know, there's a lot of theoretical
right.
And so what did assumptions made to get to that $9 billion.
What did the family end up getting out of the company once it was sold off?
private company, so they didn't have to disclose it. But the sources that I talked to in the family say about $100 million. And the sum of that went to a fund to pay the pensions for the workers. And then the rest of that went to the family. And there were a bunch of family members. You know, there were like at least 35, 40 family members.
So this was a family that in the 80s and the 90s were living the life of very wealthy people who now are adjusting their lifestyles, I assume.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's poverty-stricken. I mean, one of the family members that I talked to, Greg Stroh, who, you know, all his life he wanted to work for his family company. He did work at the Stroh Brewery for, I think, about 8 years. And then he moved to Colorado, and he started Izzy Soda. He's a co-founder of Izzy Soda, and he's actually now on his third startup. He's done great. He took what he learned working for his family company and applied it to other kinds of businesses. And, you know, somebody else has written a book, and the woman I talked to here in San Francisco, she was a Fulbright scholar and studied art. I mean, it's not like these people are on the dole somewhere, but they were living the country club life in the gated community on Grosse Pointe Farms, you know, on Provencal Road. So it was, you know, life was pretty good.
That's Carrie A. Dolan. She's assistant managing editor at Forbes and the author of an article called How to Blow $9 Billion, The Fallen Stroh Family. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.